who's paying the 15% increase in superannuation? The company or the employer?
Look, it doesn't matter. All that matters is it happens, you know, at the end of the day. I mean, if I could put more money into superannuation, I would. It won't amount to much. So it's going to be about 9 months' worth of investment. But, you know, but if you take the rest of society, it does matter. Look at the pools of investment available in Singapore for them to invest in the world. Temasek is buying, you know, major investments all over the world. That's the success of Singapore. And the government of Singapore, GIC, is one of ANZ's major shareholders.
You have a question over here.
Between the Macquarie Graduate School of Management, thank you for that address, John. One of your slides showed the extraordinary reversal in the deterioration of Australia's terms of trade over the last few years since China's entry to the world economy, and that's been a big change here. And then you also showed behind all of that the decline in our productivity growth rate, and we drew attention to that as well as a source of concern now for the future. And then thirdly, you showed the linkage which has been established by quite a bit of international data now, the linkage between productivity and investment in human capital. And I just wondered if you had a message for the political parties coming up to the next election. What would you be saying about Australia's investment in education, innovation, and human capital more widely?
Yeah, well, I'm okay talking about economics, but advising the political parties takes us into territory we probably don't want to go, but I'm near the end of my time. I can talk about that. I have this sort of implicit deal with politicians that I stick to and that they don't stick to. And that is that I won't talk about how they should run the country, providing they don't talk about how I should run the bank. Now, it's fair to say that I've stuck to that, but I wouldn't say that others have stuck to that. Look, I think the problem is that we're looking for a balanced society. And in a balanced society, it's not all about economics. It's actually about a wide range of things. And it boils down to two conflicting priorities, and too many of them is the real issue here. And it also boils down to, therefore, a lack of time and focus spent on the long term versus the short term. And so what I would encourage them to do is be like, a good CEO of a company and think about what your job is. My job is to create superior returns for shareholders over the long run while producing sufficiently acceptable results in the short run that I don't get fired. Right? That's what I think my job is. If I produce superior short-term results systematically, I'll underinvest and therefore won't produce superior long-term returns. And it has to be a bias towards the medium-long term with scant attention to making sure that you do sensible things short-term. That's how the agenda balance should be orchestrated. Whereas I think the essence of government is, particularly with the 3-year electoral cycle, is it's too easy to get consumed by the priority of the day rather than the one advice I would give is to have more of your agenda focused on the things that will contribute to Australia's long-term success rather than to short-term success. And there are a number of those. But clearly, education is one. But in a company, for example, you cannot have a sustainable company unless you look after your people. You can't have customers unless you look after the community, because otherwise your brand will be damaged and the community will take your rights away. You can't have unless your customers are well regarded and well served, they're not going to stay with you and give you the revenue. And unless all of those things happen, you're not going to produce superior results for shareholders. And so it's a sort of spiral that you have to build on, a stronger and stronger foundation that is multifaceted. And there are temporary trade-offs between them, but there are no long-term trade-offs. The same is true of government.
Bruce Morgan, PricewaterhouseCoopers. Thanks, John, for that session and outlook. I thought it was particularly interesting. One of the stats you put up in the growth going forward, or the positioning of the various countries going forward, highlighted what's happening in India. I noticed in a recent Economist an article talking about the overheating in India, of the economy necessarily coming with the growth and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Just wonder whether you had any insights or thoughts. You might have read the article, but being involved in the Asia Business Council, any views on the sort of the temperature of India and what might play out in the next little while? Thanks.
I will answer that, but I'll make another point. I have watched the world's central banks operate over about 30 years. And I would contrast the difference between those who govern successful regions and those who end up governing weaker regions. If you take many central banks think their role is to control inflation. And that would be true of the European Central Bank. They see that as largely their mandate. Other central banks, which would include Australia, the United Kingdom, the United States in that group, essentially see themselves as running a successful economy with decent levels of growth and employment commensurate with low levels of inflation. In other words, it's actually a much more holistic. They'll tend to, instead of an interpretation of what's happening with inflation is usually some form of leading indicator. Instead of responding to that leading indicator as perhaps, say, happens in New Zealand, happens in Europe, in Australia and the US, they kind of look through things, say, look, is this structural? Is the inflation structurally above where we want it to be? Do we think it's going to come back in? No, well, we need to do something about it. Yes, well, okay, let's let the market sort it out until such time as we don't believe the market will sort it out. Very different type of management of the economy. But implicit in all of that, I've always believed over the long run, in order to run economies with high levels of economic growth, you need to have accompanying that reasonable levels of inflation. In other words, you can't do it with zero inflation. Now, I've had a lot of economists argue with me about this, but if you look at the evidence, is that the countries with high systematic growth tend to have, on balance, high-ish levels of inflation. And so the two, because you can't manage the economy so finitely, because you're dealing with very subtle and very restricted tools, you can't just get it all right. And therefore, there needs to be a bit of slack. Because often you find that when you've got an economic indicator, 3 months later or a year later, you revise it, and you were wrong. And so there's a lot of noise in this system. And therefore, being too anal about these things actually constrains what happens. And so therefore, the fact that there may be some inflation in India may or may not be a material symptom. May or may not. I think what's happening in India is on balance, another sort of economic miracle waiting to happen. India has an immense productivity reform agenda, and they've unfolded that across most sectors. They haven't unfolded it across the financial sector yet, but that is coming in 2009 following the OECD and other WTO guidelines. So my sense about India is it's actually going to be similar to China, but in a sense it's sort of started later, and therefore is going to emerge later. But it will broadly be the same, and it will have a few issues on the way. For example, we've got 2,000 people in Bangalore. And this year, we've had three occasions where the state government has actually mandated that the employees need to take a day off in protest. The state government. So not the national government, just the state of Karnataka. And so you get issues like that, and they're important issues. But in the fullness of time, in order to for the well-being of their citizens, they'll broadly get this right. China's been lucky, by the way, in that respect.